Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We want to read the first four verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And then I want you to turn again to Exodus chapter 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We read from verse 1 to verse 4. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, that is the manna, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Underline those words. And that rock was Christ. Then Exodus chapter 17. Look with me at verse 6, the first part of it. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider God's word today. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious word. And we pray now, Lord, as we turn to the sacred page, that you would give us a word in season for every heart. I pray, Lord, that you would fill us with thy gracious Holy Spirit. And help us, Lord, only to say those things again that will be pleasing to thee. We thank thee for the message of the gospel. And we praise thee, O God, that it's still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We pray, Lord, that you would turn men from their sin. And, O God, that this day they will seek the Lord, or they be lost in hell forever. We thank thee, O God, for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour and our Redeemer. And O God, we pray that you'll help us to uplift our blessed Saviour today. Hide man far behind the cross. We pray, O God, that none would be seen, save Jesus only. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. The subject that I want to preach upon today is simply entitled, Water from the Rock. After the children of Israel left the wilderness of sin, where God began to give them manna from heaven, they came to a place called Rephidim. At Rephidim, two significant events took place. First of all, there was a crisis regarding a shortage of water. And secondly, it was at Rephidim that the children of Israel fought against Amalek. Today in our studies, we want to look at what is said in Exodus 17 about this water shortage at the beginning of Exodus chapter 17. The Bible tells us in verse 1 that when the children of Israel reached Rephidim, that there was no water for the people to drink. Indeed, in verse 3 of the chapter, the Bible says that the people thirsted there for water. Again, when this crisis arose, the people murmured against Moses and complained that they had no water to drink. And again, Moses brought the matter to the Lord in prayer. And again, God answered prayer by performing a miracle. God instructed Moses and the elders of Israel to go to the rock in Horeb. Moses was to take his rod in his hand, and he was to smite the rock in Horeb with the rod of God. And the result would be that water would come forth out of the rock. And of course, that's exactly what happened. Moses smote the rock, and there came forth water which satisfied the thirst of all the children of Israel. And God again was merciful to his people. What we have here is water coming out of the rock. But what do we learn here from this smiting of the rock and water flowing forth? Surely there must be something more significant that the Lord is seeking to teach us through this unique incident. Well, this rock and the water flowing from this rock is a wonderful picture and type of God's salvation in Jesus Christ. And very simply today, I want to show you this. And I pray that God will bless His word to all of our hearts. I want you to learn a number of things about this rock and the water flowing from this rock in relation to God's marvelous salvation in Jesus Christ. And I pray, if you're not saved in the meeting, that the Lord will speak particularly to your heart and to your soul. Because, my friend, your greatest need today is to drink from the rock. Your greatest need today is to come to know this rock as your own and personal Savior. And I pray that the Lord will speak very powerfully to your soul, and that even this Lord's Day that you will throw down your puny arms of rebellion and seek the Lord while He may be found and call upon Him while He is near. What do we learn here? Well, first of all, I want you to notice, I suppose it goes without saying now, but I want you to notice that the rock here speaks of Christ. If there's any doubt about the fact that this rock spoken of in Exodus 17 is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, all doubt must be cast to the one side when we consider what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10 verses 1 to 4. I want you to look at these verses again. Look what the Apostle here says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And of course he's referring back to the time when the children of Israel were in the wilderness. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, that's the Red Sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, that's the manna, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. There we have it in black and white. Men and women, there's only one rock when we come to consider the church, whether the church in the Old Testament or the church in the New Testament. And that rock is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The rock is not Peter. The rock is God's only begotten Son. He and He alone is the rock of His church. And of course, in relation to salvation, God's salvation is only found in Jesus Christ, the rock. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is no salvation for sinners. The Apostle Peter, in Acts 4 verse 12, when speaking about Christ, he said this, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." The truth is that if men today want to be saved, then they must come to Christ. For He is the only rock. He is the only Redeemer. He is the only Savior. In 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11, Paul said this, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." My friend, if you're not trusting in Jesus Christ alone for your eternal salvation today, then you're lost and on your way to a Christless eternity. That's the truth of the matter. The hymn writer penned it well when he wrote those wonderful words, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." And we sang that lovely hymn, Top Lady, his lovely hymn, "Rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy rivet side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. Not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demand. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone, Oh, I wonder, as we're gathered in God's house this Lord's Day, can everyone here testify to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Do you know the rock? Will you acknowledge today that Jesus Christ is the rock? Will you acknowledge today that He is the only Savior? And will you come, my dear friend, if you're still unsaved, and put your faith and trust in this rock to save you and to bring you to heaven? Because before you die and leave this scene of time, you need to know Jesus Christ as your rock and as your Redeemer. Because to die without Christ is to be lost forever and forever and forever. And yet, maybe some of you are saying just now, well, I know what you're saying is true, preacher. And before I die, I'll turn to the rock and I'll be saved. But the Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. You and I are not guaranteed the rest of this day, not alone tomorrow and next week and next month and next year. That's why, sinner, you need to strive to enter in at the straight gate. You need to seek the Lord while He may be found, and you need to call upon Him while He is near. The rock is Christ. Now, I want you to notice something else here. Take a look at Exodus chapter 17 again. I want you to notice, secondly, that the smiting of the rock speaks of Calvary. Look what it says in verse 6. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock. Now underline those words. Moses was to take the rod of God and he was to smite the rock. Moses smiting the rock with the rod of God is a picture. Now listen to this. It's very important. This is a picture of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Smiting represents an act of judgment. You would agree with that, wouldn't you? Calvary was a place of judgment. On the cross, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the judgment of God fell upon Christ the rock. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 53 verse 4 that Christ was smitten of God. God's wrath fell upon Him because of man's sin. The Bible says that Christ was made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Therefore, Calvary's cross was the place where God smote His only begotten Son so that my sin could be forgiven, so that my sin could be cleansed. The judgment that should have fallen upon me because of my sin fell upon Christ. He was smitten so that I, the sinner, could go free. Very important that you understand that. The smiting of the rock was necessary, in other words. If the children of Israel was going to have water in the wilderness and live, then Moses had to smite the rock with the rod of God. If the rock had not been smitten, the water would not have come forth, and the children of Israel would have died in the wilderness. Men and women, without Calvary, there would have been no redemption for you and for me. If Christ the rock had not been smitten, then mankind would have been lost forever. Calvary was a necessity. Without Calvary, there would have been no salvation for sinners like you and I. And it's so important that you see that today. You can't save yourself. You can't redeem yourself. There's nothing that you can do to merit a place in God's heaven. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ had to go to the cross. And upon Calvary's cross, He had to bear our sins in His own body upon the tree. In Isaiah 53 verse 10 it says, it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin. Christ had to be offered on the cross for our sins. Indeed, on the cross, the Lord Jesus had to become sin for us in order to bear away our sins. 1 Peter 2 verse 24 says, who His own self bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Oh, I wonder this afternoon, my friend, if you're not saved, do you realize the significance of the cross? Do you recognize the necessity of Calvary? Do you realize today the purpose why the Son of God was smitten there upon the middle tree on Golgotha's brow? He died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. And the truth is, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God had to be smitten there upon Calvary's middle tree in order to provide eternal salvation and eternal redemption for hail guilty sinners like you and I. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love, the love of God to me that brought my Saviour from above to die on Calvary. It's hard for you and I to imagine the suffering that the Lord Jesus went through upon the cross for our sins. We'll never understand it. And we'll never take it in. What it cost for Christ the Holy One to bear away our sin. But thank God, upon that middle tree on Golgotha's brow, He was smitten. He was judged. Turn over just for a moment. Keep your hand in Exodus chapter 17 to Matthew's Gospel chapter 27. And let us remind ourselves again of what the Lord Jesus Christ suffered upon the cross. In Matthew 27, verse 27, we read, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of a skull, they give him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there." There we had the scene of the cross. And of course, really, we're just reading some of the physical sufferings that the Savior went through upon the cross. But of course, there were the atoning sufferings of Christ. Why is any wonder the Lord cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" In those 3 hours of darkness, that was the time when God the Father took the sword of judgment and plunged it into his only begotten Son. That was the time when he was smitten for our transgressions. Oh, my friend, those of you here today who are still unsaved, would you not consider what the Lamb of God has accomplished for your soul today? And would you not come and put your faith and trust in this wonderful Redeemer? The rock had to be smitten in order that you and I would be saved. You see, there's something else I want you to notice here. Turn back to Exodus chapter 17. And you'll notice, thirdly, the water flowing from the rock speaks of God's salvation. The giving of this water from the rock reveals unto us a number of things about God's salvation. You see, once the rock was smitten, the water came forth. I'm sure you've noticed that. Look at verse 6 again. "And I shall smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it." Well, this water flowing from the rock is a wonderful picture of God's salvation. We can see the grace of God in salvation here. Israel did not deserve the water that flowed from the rock in the wilderness. They deserved the judgment of God. They deserved this smiting. They deserved the smiting instead of the rock because the sin was theirs. But God, by His grace, provided water out of the rock for the children of Israel. Men and women, God, by His grace, has provided eternal salvation for you and I through Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved. Salvation in Christ is a result of God's matchless grace. Also, this water from the rock reveals the sufficiency of God's salvation. This water was what the people needed. It was all that the people needed. And it satisfied their thirst. It was sufficient for their need. God's salvation in Christ is all sufficient. It is not only what the sinner needs, but it is all that the sinner needs as far as their eternal salvation is concerned. Christ is all in all. God's salvation in Christ is perfect. It's complete. Jesus said in John 7 verse 37, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And in John 4 verse 14, Christ said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Thank God all who come will be satisfied. We read in Revelation chapter 22 verse 7, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. The Lord Jesus Christ accomplished for you and I upon the cross of Calvary. Thank God because the Savior died, because the rock was smitten. God's salvation is now offered to sinners. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Not a wonderful doctrine? The water from the rock reveals to us God's wonderful salvation in Jesus Christ. Oh, I wonder today, as you're gathered in God's house under the sound of God's precious word, do you realize even today that you can come and drink by faith and leave God's house with all your sins forgiven on your way to heaven? You can come and take a drink of this water and never, never thirst again. There's a tremendous text of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 55, and it's verse 1, and we read these tremendous words in that text of Scripture. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. What a tremendous invitation there is there for every soul. But you know, my friend, if you're going to enjoy this wonderful salvation that God has offered to you today, you must partake. You see, this water from the rock reveals the gaining of God's salvation. Although this water was given by grace and was all sufficient and would bring great joy to the heart, and would satisfy the need, it would have been absolutely no good to the people if they had refused to drink it. The water had to be partaken of. And you know, as far as God's salvation is concerned, you must come by faith and partake of Christ. My friend, if you want to experience God's redemption, you must receive it by faith and in repentance. You must come to Christ today and receive Him as your own and as your personal Savior. Oh, I wonder, are you willing to do that even this afternoon? That's a challenge. And I throw out that challenge today. The Bible says, for as many has received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I wonder, are you willing to bow at the cross by faith and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Redeemer? The smiting of the rock produced water. Christ dying upon the cross produced salvation. Thank God there is salvation for the whosoever will. Child of God, isn't it wonderful to be reminded again of what the Lord has provided for us and given to us in Jesus Christ? Thank God, because our Savior has died, and because our Savior has risen again, and because our Savior has been smitten, we have eternal redemption. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ could promise his sheep everlasting life. Jesus said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of his hand. We're eternally secure in Christ. No matter what the devil does, no matter what the devil says, no matter how many lies he tells, thank God, because of this wonderful provision that God has made for us, you and I are safe in the arms of Jesus. And that's why we can leave God's house today rejoicing. That's why we can leave God's house today with a spring in our step and with joy in our souls. Let us never forget what the Lord Jesus accomplished for us on the place called Calvary. And even as we seek to live for him this week, let us day by day thank him for providing for us eternal redemption. But my friend, you're not saved today. You're not born again of the Spirit of God. You know nothing of drinking from the rock. You need to come today. You need to seek the Lord while he may be found. And you need to call upon him while he is near. And thank God, if you do, you will be satisfied. You know, there's no satisfaction in this world. The pleasures of sin, the Bible tells us, are but for a season. But thank God, all those who drink at the fount of God's eternal salvation shall be satisfied forever. In Psalm 36 and verse 8, we read these tremendous words. You ought to underline them in your Bible. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thine house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. What a tremendous text of scripture that is. They shall be abundantly satisfied. Thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. Oh, thank God, the pleasures in Christ are eternal and everlasting. And I pray today, as we come to the end of this service, that the Lord will speak to your heart and that the Lord would draw you unto himself. For my friend, life will quickly pass you by. And the opportunities that you're receiving now to get saved and make your peace with God will soon be gone. The day of grace will soon be over. And the day of judgment will soon come. Of that there is no doubt, because the Bible says that God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. And on that day, you need to be in the rock. You need to know Christ as your Savior. My friend, will you come and trust him now? Only trust him, only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Let's all pray.